line up. Bring me up. Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN on this Friday, May 5th at 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern. We have one single guest today and one single topic. We are going to be taking a look at the Zach Shaheen detention case with guest Aida Dagher, or Dagher, who is Zach Shaheen's sister-in-law. If you've not heard of this case, we have all of the news links up there to bring you up to speed on exactly what is involved in this detention case in the United Arab Emirates involving an American citizen. We also have a 25-page PDF file up on this that will enable you to get caught up very quickly. And, of course, within 24 hours of this show, I will have all of your usual news items up in the Russian-Ukrainian war, on RFK Jr.'s campaign, on American quote-unquote culture, and all the other miserable things that you would like to listen to or to read here in the next 24 hours after this show goes straight to archives. We have a heavy foreign audience today. Hence, on V Contacta, we translated the show description from English into Russian, Chinese, Persian, and Arabic. Aida, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. I am fully briefed on your case, and I am inviting our listeners to go to the big board, which they have access to read up on this. Tell us exactly who your brother-in-law is. Tell us what happened to him. Tell us about the complete lack of response to this dreadful situation on the part of the United Arab Emirates consulate in Houston, as well as a lack of activity on the part of the President of the United States and the Secretary of State. What is going on with this?
Well, to start with, hello, everybody, whoever is listening. To start with, Zach Shaheen is a U.S. citizen. He worked for PepsiCo in the U.S., and then they gave him a foreign assignment in Dubai, and he went there and worked for a few years. He's a top professional person, so he was hunted over there locally to be the CEO of a local real estate company. He ran that company very professionally. He listed it on the stock exchange. It was a private company. He did very well. And surprisingly, he was in a meeting, in an audit meeting, and the police came, arrested him, put a bag on his head with chains, and they took him. And his family didn't hear from him for 17 days. And the police, meanwhile, the security there in Dubai said they knew nothing about him. So you can imagine those 17 days what happened to him. He was heavily tortured. Afterwards, they admitted that he is in jail and that they were accusing him of a financial crime, you know, of embezzling or forging documents or whatever. And the lawyers for Zach could not see any documents. Where were these documents? What are they that he forged? And what money was stolen? From where? I mean, the big four auditing firms have rotated around the company, and there was nothing missing. No disclosures, no write-offs, nothing. Finally, he started fighting in court, and they could not convict him for 9.5 years. After 9.5 years, they convicted him, and they tried him as a government employee, though there are official documents that it's a private company. And the difference is, if he was guilty of all those charges, he would be sentenced to 8 years if it was a private company. But as a government company, they can sentence him to whatever they want. So in brief, there are lots of details. He's sentenced to 46 years. Yes, 46 years, almost half a century. He already spent 15 years in jail for that crime that they claim he committed. And he is, and the reason now we're really speeding, we've been lobbying all these years for him to come back, but he is a very sick man. He was in the hospital recently for 4 months. And as soon as we went to the media asking and sending mercy letters to release him on medical grounds, they sent him back to jail. And every day every other day, they put chains on him and they take him on 9-hour trip together with other sick, prisoners to the hospital. So as an outpatient, and he's getting worse and worse. His health is deteriorating, and we're really pleading everywhere in order to get him back to Houston Medical Center, where he is based. Actually, Houston is his hometown. We got nowhere. We sent dozens of mercy letters through the State Department, because that's the official way. I personally went to the consulate of the UAE in Houston. They said it's not their responsibility to receive any mercy letters. So I flew to Washington, D.C., and I spent hours outside the embassy. They wouldn't let me in. Finally, they took the mercy letter, and that was it. I mean, the ambassador kindly called me, and he said, yes, I received the letter. I'm relaying it to the leadership in the UAE. Never heard back from him. I sent a follow-up letter asking him what happened. Nothing. We asked the State Department what's happening. Nothing. But a positive thing happened in March 2023. We got a ruling from the United Nations Working Group in Geneva, Switzerland, confirming that he was tortured, kidnapped, and arbitrarily detained, wrongfully detained in the UAE. And they called on the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, in order to release him immediately. We took this United Nations ruling and submitted it to the State Department. And guess what? They would not label him wrongly detained. They would just deny him. Although we have the Foley Foundation, which is well known for releasing hostages and they label hostages, they label them wrongly detained. We have documents from a Human Rights Watch. Also, they know and they confirm in writing that he is wrongly detained. But the State Department still, for whatever reason, because the UAE is our ally. But I mean, as American citizen, they should take his life as a priority, not for trade contracts or whatever. We don't know what's happening at the State Department. We don't know why we have silence from there. And we don't know why we have silence from the UAE. The man is sick. We are appealing on humanitarian grounds. We don't want to discuss innocence or no innocence now, although he is innocent. He's been there for 15 years. He's dying. We don't want him in a box. We want him back to his family with their support. Maybe he'll have a few years to live. I mean, this is all the frustration that we have as a family. I guess that's all I can say, Mark.
You know, what is really incredible to me, of course, Aida, and this is my editorial remark. These are not your words. But it seems to me that Joe Biden and Secretary of State Anthony Blinken are more interested in starting World War III with Russia than they are with helping an American citizen in a dreadful situation. And I would like all of our listeners at RBN to take a look at the VContacta link, which will be a part of the show description shortly after our live broadcast, when this show becomes available for people to listen to around the world on a later basis. There you will see the Daily Mail story on this, the UK Daily Mail. I posted one other link on this, and last but not least, there is a 25-page PDF file, which we have attached to the VContacta show description, where you can read word by word and page by page just how terrifying this case really is. Aida, in terms of your situation and your family situation and Zach's situation, there was a lot of back and forth that was going on between you folks and the American authorities, and between you folks and the and presumably the UAE consulate there in Houston. I understand you later traveled to Washington, D.C. Yes. To present your case directly to the State Department. I'm reading now from the Daily Mail description of this situation, where it talks, and this is probably your son talking here, probably. Is that Rami?
Rami, yes. Yes. Zach's son, yeah, my nephew.
Let's read what Zach's son, Rami, told the Daily Mail. Quote, they gave me the same dry, nonchalant response I have gotten in the last 3.5 years, he said. The sense of urgency in me is through the roof. I speak to my dad, he is hollow and empty. He's in a government hospital, rotting from the inside out. He needs to come home and spend whatever amount of days he has left with his family. Now, zero in on this, RBN listeners, and those of you who are listening to us today from Russia and from Iran, and from various locations in Europe, as well as the United States, as well as China. We have contacted a lot of people on this show, including the folks at the South China Morning Post, who occasionally monitor this broadcast. Rami says something here that is absolutely revealing to me, anyway. He says, quote, "I am frustrated and upset with President Biden and the State Department and Secretary Blinken. There is a lack of action and no sense of urgency to just help us out. I am calling on them to do more for my dad and bring him home. It's time." Now, the Daily Mail goes on to say, this is not Mark Dankoff here, I'm reading from the Daily Mail. "While this back and forth was ongoing, the Shaheens were unaware that the United States had been negotiating the release of WNBA basketball star Brittany Griner, who was freed from a Russian prison on December the 8th, 2022, after the United States agreed to return international arms dealer Victor Bout through a trade the UAE helped to facilitate." Quote, and this, I believe, again, is Zach's son, Rami, talking to the Daily Mail of Britain here. "When I submitted the mercy pleas on December the 8th to the State Department, they said that they will follow up, so I thought there may be some communication with the UAE and the United States, but then we found out that Brittany Griner was released." Rami says that he feels the State Department has abandoned his family and pushed them aside. Quote, "Maybe we're not newsworthy enough for them. We're not famous. We're just an ordinary family, and they left us," unquote, he said. I happen to identify with this completely, and I'm not a part of the case. What do you think it would take, Aida, to get these guys to listen to some legitimate reason on this case, especially since the Daily Mail was nice enough to publish some of the details of Zach's hideous medical condition that come to us from a Houston-based cardiologist, Dr. Sanford Lubetkin? He has, yes, according to the Daily Mail, revealed shocking details about Shaheen's deteriorating health. What do we do to get the President of the United States and the Secretary of State to listen to this? I'm going to take this to my Texas U.S. senators and my own congressman, who's trying to help me get my late uncle into a Purple Heart Museum up in New York. Willard, have you guys taken this or tried to take it to the U.S. senators in Texas,
yes,
or to your congressman?
Yes.
What was their response?
In fact, Senator Ted Cruz was very, very understanding and sympathetic to the case. He wrote a very strong support letter of Zach and sent it directly to the State Department. But they did not care, not even for the letter of support from Senator Ted Cruz. And there were three other Congress people from Texas, because he's a Texan, Wellen, Niels, and Weber, I guess, yeah, three. They wrote letters as well to the State Department, and all we get is deaf ears from the State Department. We appealed, you know, on various programs as well, appealing to President Biden to interfere. This is an allied country. It's not an enemy. It should be very easy, but they'd rather, you know, do something with the enemies and get prisoners out of there with a swap or whatever it is happening in the background. But for an allied country, our leadership here, they don't care. The U.S. government does not care for a U.S. citizen's life. In fact, we were in D.C. the last 3 days for a Foley Foundation event, just for they have several hostages over there, and we are part of a Bring Our Families Home. We just joined as well, Bring Our Families Home, with Neda Shargi as well. She's got her brother in Iran, and we were appealing everywhere, you know, just going everywhere, talking to senator people, talking to the journalists, get it to the media. We want the media to give a loud voice before we lose our loved one. You know, it's a very urgent thing. So we hope something will come out of it. And we were appealing since this, you know, the U.S. government, we keep appealing to them. I appealed personally also in one interview to the president of the UAE. He probably doesn't know about this. It's down there in the line. I don't know what it is. On humanitarian grounds now, we're saying, on medical grounds. What happened to all those mercy letters? Why don't we get a response? Now we're pushing to get a response. At least tell us. The State Department, tell us, why aren't you saying that he's wrongfully detained just because he's an ally. And you know, Mark, when he's wrongfully detained, labeled by the State Department, then I don't know if you know about this PIHA at the White House, that by law, they've got to get the hostage back. It's the, you know, special presidential envoy. And they're very understanding. They understand that he is wrongfully detained, but it's not their responsibility to label him. It's the State Department who should label him. Then it would be much easier. Now, the whole world, big organizations, as I mentioned earlier, the United Nations, what's more stronger than that? The United Nations labeled him as wrongly detained, tortured, and kidnapped. You know, he was kidnapped by on Emirates Airlines from Yemen, by government officials without any extradition papers, and everything is documented in the UN. I mean, what more can we give the State Department or President Biden to label him as a hostage just because the UAE is an ally? That's the frustrating part. And where is the human part of this? Where is the humanitarian attitude of these people? So we're appealing to the world. We're appealing to the media. We thank you so much, Mark, that you bring this out there. So I hope the media people will catch it. I mean, in the last 3 days, we met a few journalists. I don't know if they will publish it or not. We'll see.
Well, so in my particular case, I am confident that Joe Biden and Anthony Blinken could care less what I think about anything. And that's to my credit, not theirs, that they don't like me. But certainly in terms of some other governments and other media contacts, what I was able to do is to contact a lot of people that are acquainted with me in foreign media, because I will say things and write things that are responsibly done that nonetheless criticize the United States government when I think it needs to be criticized, especially on the issue of its neoconservative war party policies. And so I have brought this case to the attention of folks that know me at Press Television Iran, Sputnik in Russia, certain officials in both of those governments who still follow what I do on the radio. And I've gotten this out, as I mentioned before, to South China Morning Post, where those folks only know me as a name. We've never worked together. And I'm going to be revisiting some of this with my Congressman Chip Roy in Texas. But the long and the short of it is, folks, it's dreadful enough if you read the Daily Mail case on this, which is, again, a part of our show description that will be with this broadcast not too long after our live show is concluded. So everybody out there can read this, not simply the Daily Mail report, but we have posted on the V Contacta link that RBN will put up, again, that 25-page PDF file that goes into all of the details of this. You will be absolutely appalled that an American citizen is undergoing this in the United Arab Emirates at the hands of a so-called ally. And let me put this into context for our listeners. Some years ago, I had to do some traveling to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, for a conference dealing with the Israeli Sabra and Shatila massacres going all the way back to 1982. And then I was also traveling to Durban, South Africa in 2013 to do a lot of media stuff there and to have some live speaking appearances, probably the largest I've ever had, frankly, the live ones. The reason I mention this is I took Emirates Airline through the United Arab Emirates. What could have happened to me if they had so chosen? We will be back with Aida Dogger when discussing this dreadful case when RBN returns after the break with Mark Gantoff.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. Think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
We are back, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff and the Dankoff Report coming to you live from RBN. We are today with the sister-in-law of Zach Shaheen, illegitimately detained in the United Arab Emirates. You can read all about that at the Daily Mail post that we have up, one other news post that I also put up at VKontakte, as well as the 25-page PDF file. Zach's sister-in-law, Aida Dagher, is with us. Aida, I'm just going to read a little bit more from this Daily Mail report, which, of course, chronicles that you and Zach's wife, Soha Shaheen, went to the UAE consulate in Houston. Mm-hmm. The consul general said he couldn't accept the letter telling him that Shaheen's case did not technically fall under his quote-unquote responsibilities at the consulate. I'll leave that alone, folks. Let's go then to the new mercy letter that was written from the entire Shaheen family. This involves, of course, not simply Aida, but Zach Shaheen's 85-year-old mother, Samia Shaheen, wife Soha, 54, son Rami, age 30, daughter Mira, age 25, Zach Shaheen's sister, Rula Shaheen, and brother Hikam Shaheen. They share their, as the UK Daily Mail puts it, their compelling and urgent request to release their loved one. And, of course, as Aida has already shared with her, she was the one who traveled from her home in Houston to Washington. Now, folks, in regard to the medical case on this, you can read all of the details in that PDF file. But just in terms of what the UK Daily Mail was able to publish, it's absolutely hideous. This is the UK Daily Mail now, on the basis of what was received from this very fine doctor in Houston. This doctor in Houston, of course, we mentioned earlier on the show. And in this particular case, it's Dr. Sanford Lubetkin. He's a Houston-based cardiologist. Now, listen to the details of this, folks, and ask yourselves why the UAE is doing this to an American citizen, why the President of the United States, if you'll pardon my language, isn't doing a damn thing, why it is that the Secretary of State of the United States isn't doing a damn thing, and how you have at least one United States Senator from Texas. However much I disagree with Ted Cruz on some things, he writes a very nice letter officially to try and get something underway. Ted Cruz has been ignored on this. Now, here are the medical details on Zach Shaheen. The UK Daily Mail tells us that his health is dire as he battles an infection in his lungs and skin sores. His family believe his condition is far worse than they know. Now, this goes back to Ruth Pashinsky's article for the Daily Mail back on the 26th of January, folks. We're not talking about the 5th of May. You can imagine how much worse this undoubtedly has gotten since Ms. Pashinsky wrote this very fine story for the UK Daily Mail. Now, when you go down and listen to this, it's absolutely horrible. I'm going to read a little bit more of this just to put into perspective that any American citizen, including yours truly, who has traveled through Dubai on the Emirates Airlines, could potentially be detained, potentially framed, potentially imprisoned with the key thrown away, and as an American citizen, have the President of the United States and Anthony Blinken doing absolutely zero. Zero. They would have far more reason to help this gentleman, of course, than they would me. Absolutely no reason. No reason for them not to be helping Zach Shaheen here. But let's see what Dr. Sanford Lubetkin weighs in on with this. This Houston-based cardiologist tells the Daily Mail that, quote, two recent surgeries had resulted in complications, including an infection that has spread to his lungs. Continual bleeding is threatening Shaheen's kidneys. He developed a hernia and is also suffering from thyroid, gastro, and prostate illnesses, along with a multitude of neurological issues. This letter from Dr. Lubetkin also states that he needs spinal surgery on multiple vertebrae as a result of his living conditions, which he was told not to have done in the UAE due to its quote-unquote archaic techniques. Lubetkin wrote as well, quote, this patient has disease and multiple organ systems. His long-term prognosis is dire. His overall health conditions are unacceptable at best. Mr. Shaheen is to be closely monitored and managed to avoid sudden organ failure. I urge you, says Dr. Lubetkin, to take whatever action is necessary and appropriate to facilitate a compassionate medical release so that Zach can return to Houston. Now, in this particular case, Aida, if yes. One reads through the Daily Mail article and one other one that I have posted, it seems to me that you could make a compelling case just on the basis of a change that occurred in government there, that this thing is not simply a question of someone being brutally detained who is dying, but someone who's not even guilty of the charges and apparently has been framed by changing political winds. We'll get back to that with Aida Dogger and ask her to detail why she believes that. I think there's some reason to believe it when Mark Dankoff returns live on the Dankoff Report from San Antonio, Texas. Stay tuned.
Real news, real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
We are back. You are listening to the Dankoff Report live on the Republic Broadcasting Network from San Antonio, Texas, on this 5th of May, 2023. Our very special guest is Aida Dogger, the sister-in-law of an incredible individual going through incredible suffering right now. That is Zach Shaheen, age 58. Serving a 53-year prison sentence on charges of fraud, embezzlement, and other financial schemes. And I will tell Aida right now that if you have some contact information for Ruth Bashinsky there at dailymail.com, I'd like to get this show to her as well, or maybe yes. Have one of my other foreign colleagues do it if you don't have the contact.
I have the contacts. I'll send them to you. Yes.
Send that to me. I definitely want her to listen to this show and to be aware of how many people in Russia and in China and in Iran, just to name three places, seem to have a lot more concern about this case than the President of the United States and the Secretary of State.
Yes.
So that is Mark Dankoff's statement there, folks. Mm-hmm. And let me ask you something, Aida.
Yes.
Just reading through all of this, I'm well aware of the fact that there is some compelling evidence that, in fact, Zach Shaheen was framed. That
yes.
There were some political changes there. This is not simply a question of trying to get someone released on a mercy basis. This is a question of getting someone released on a mercy basis where there's prima facie evidence that that person was framed and unlawfully detained. You've
yes.
got quite a bit of time left in this last segment of the show. Tell us why you and the family have reason to believe that.
Well, this thing happened actually at the time of change of leadership in Dubai. And what I know about the case back there, because he was arrested in 2008, Zach reported to the Minister of Finance there. And the Minister of Finance was the chairman of probably around 26 other companies as well, which are prestigious. And with the change of leadership there, there was one person who came to power under him, of course. And he was kind of jealous or whatever it is. He wanted to seize all that power from the Minister of Finance. So first of all, he offered a job to Zach. And Zach said, no, I'm happy where I am. A few months later, and his name is Shaibani. I can say his name as well. Because we submitted, by the way, Magnitsky Act against him. And nothing was done. And Magnitsky is just, you know, to be against somebody that you believe is doing illegal things. So anyway, that's another story. So this person, what can he do? So he's filed charges against the minister and against several people of the companies under him, including Zach. And then, because the minister is a local, we don't know what happened in the background, charges were dropped against him, although he was the primary person to be charged with whatever it is that is they're charging Zach. And then the charges fell on Zach and the others. And the others, some of them died, some of them left the UAE, and the only person left was Zach. So he got all the charges himself. That's what I know about the case. So when we filed the Magnitsky Act, it was against Shaibani. It's got lots of details. We can send you copies of it as well. And again,
it
was ignored.
Yes, yeah. And just to underscore for all of our listeners, folks, Zach Shaheen is the longest detained white-collar person, American, detained in a foreign country. I happen to be convinced with all that I have read before doing this show. I read up on everything that was sent to me. I'm convinced this guy has been framed. Just underscore what the British tell us through the Daily Mail, he has been in such a state, detained longer in a foreign prison than any other yet living American charged with something like this, I believe, falsely. And simply to underscore what I have told my colleagues in foreign media today around the world, some of whom are listening to this broadcast or who will listen to it after it archives shortly, and then we'll get busy with it. This is where I'm asking all of my contacts in these various foreign medias, and in some case, informal contacts in foreign countries, to do me a favor. I'm not asking for myself. I am asking them to do me the favor of helping me help Zach and to help Aida and the rest of the family. So if you're listening to this in one of these locations today, you've already gotten this message from me. Please help these people. You can do it with no reference to me whatsoever. That's not the issue here. The clock is ticking on this man's medical situation. I'm amazed he's still alive after what I read from the UK Daily Mail medical report in January. Aida, where do we go from here? Do we knock on Biden's door again? Yes.
We're considering going, you know, day and night by the White House. I mean,
yes.
We were at the Lafayette Park opposite the White House just 2 days ago. We stood there for hours. Of course, nothing happened.
Well, in this particular case, we can also include these European Union government folks that I, of course, am not a big fan of the EU. We won't go down that road today. But we might ask ourselves in terms not only of the United States government, but the Western governments generally, as well as foreign governments who have diplomatic relations with the United Arab Emirates. We need everybody out there that listens to this or who will listen to it later and who will read through the PDF file and these news stories to undertake on this man's behalf and on behalf of his family. No reference to me if you like. That's fine. But the clock is ticking for this gentleman. And again, when you read the Daily Mail report, I'm amazed he's still alive.
Yeah, we're trying our best. I mean, mentally also he's deteriorating, mentally, physically. He was just recently on the verge, because he's suffering and in pain, he was on the verge of going on a hunger strike, no water even, no medications. And we kept him going, you know, we told him, no, don't. I mean, when he manages to call us, we're working, we'll get you out. So that's why we need to speed things. We're losing him both physically and mentally.
Yes. And again, folks, time is of the essence. You're not going to believe this, Aida, but many years ago, I'm now approaching 68. When I was about 37 years old, there was a man here in San Antonio, a very fine military veteran. He was an American Army medic at Omaha Beach at Normandy. He was a Jewish man, Jewish wife, and he was having an unbelievable problem with someone, a loved one, being detained in a foreign country. And he's telling me all of this. He had gone to all of the authorities, and in this particular case, folks, he was going to a Republican administration in those days that did not do a damn thing to help him, even given who he was. He and his wife are now buried at Fort Sam National Cemetery here in San Antonio. Of course, my own father's at Arlington National Cemetery in San Antonio. And so I contacted an old friend who will be nameless on this show and forever nameless. You would know his name. And I said, I need for you to contact someone in Florida who has a private Help Americans service in foreign countries. And he says to me, I think I know who you're referring to. You really want me to contact him? And I said, absolutely. So this person surreptitiously contacted the late G. Gordon Liddy, the Watergate burglar, who subsequently contacted me from Miami. And he says, Pastor, how can I help you? I told him the whole story, and he said to me, I'll get on this, and I'll keep you informed if you like. And I said, I don't want to be informed, Gordon. Stay away from me. I don't want to know anything about this. He goes, fine. Well, some weeks later, this retired Jewish Army colonel knocked on my door, and he said, Pastor, how do you know this guy? And I said, I don't know. We have a mutual friend. You have a mutual friend who knows this guy? And I said, yeah. And he goes, that's unbelievable. A Lutheran pastor knows people like this? And I said, hey, I didn't ask my friend to ask him for a favor. I was asking for you. And I said, did he help you? And he said, yes, he helped us. He did what we needed. A life was saved. He helped us. But he won't tell us how he did it. And I said, I told him never to contact me with how he did it. But nonetheless, I wish G. Gordon Liddy was alive today and still in his prime. As strange as that might sound, all it would take would be for my friend to contact him one more time. My friend is still living. And for Gordon Liddy to get back to me, if he was still alive and in his prime, to say, you know, I read up all of this stuff, and I guess we got a light of fire under Biden's ass, if you'll pardon my language, and get this thing done, because he ain't going to act. So, Gordon, you're no longer with us, but I salute you for something that you did on behalf of innocent people going back some 30 years ago. Uh-huh. Aida, is assuming yeah. that Biden and Blinken continue to be away without official leave, is there anything else you can think of that would that might help you, or would help me to help you, help some of our listeners to help you? Is there somebody out there, I don't know who it might be, but somebody out there, even if it's somebody in a foreign government who would just like to make Biden and Blinken look real bad, they're good at doing that on their own. They don't need any help. But nonetheless, anything that we could do. I've been racking my brain on this. I don't necessarily right now have an answer. Anything come to you in the middle of the night some night?
Yeah, I was thinking that maybe the lawmakers can force the State Department to act. If we get a letter, a petition, resolution, whatever you want to call it, signed by 50 or so, because so far we've got, you know, maybe 6-7. We don't have 50, and they didn't listen. Maybe if we get it officially, I don't know. I don't know about the laws, whether we can get that officially and force the State Department to act, because we have a very valid case. That's one thing.
You know, I'm just wondering, and again, I don't know Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I'm not even a Democrat. My father knew his father. My father was a colonel in Air Force Intelligence at the height of the Cold War, and during the Cuban Missile Crisis helped President John Kennedy, but that was a very long time ago. I'm just wondering, folks, anybody out there know how to get a hold of Kennedy? I have the feeling that Robert F. Kennedy might just have the gumption to do something about this. I don't know how to get a hold of him, except maybe through the Children's Defense Network. Aida, that occurs to me as something that ought to be tried, because this guy, I don't agree with him on every issue, but I suspect he's got the guts to take this thing on.
Oh, that would be great. Anything, well, anyone.
I will try, Kennedy. I can't promise anything. In the meantime, if some of these foreign media contacts who know me have an inside inroad to get to Kennedy to talk to him, I'll ask them to do you a favor on behalf of Zach and your family, and see if Kennedy wouldn't jump into this thing with some public statements.
Okay, that would be great. Yeah.
Good. We won't tell Kennedy that I'm the right of Attila the Hun, but nonetheless, Kennedy and I agree on a lot of issues, folks, and believe it or not, when I was a little boy, I was in his parents' home in McLean, Virginia. My mother took me there because she was invited to a fundraiser at Robert and Ethel Kennedy's home in McLean for Catholic Charities. Even though my mother wasn't a Catholic and I wasn't Catholic, we got invited. And a Roman Catholic wife of an Air Force intelligence officer that knew my dad was our primary contact point on this. But who knows, Bob Kennedy Jr. and I probably met that day, and I have no memory of it. But I just have a feeling about this guy, folks. He's not right on every issue, at least where I'm concerned, but he's right on a lot of stuff. And yep. I think he'd have the guts to help us on this. So anybody out there can get a hold of Kennedy, I will try. But if somebody else can really get a hold of him, please do it.
Okay.
Yes. Well, updates from Zach in more recent times since this horrible but very fine Daily Mail article came out in January? Do you hear anything from Zach directly or through a trusted intermediary who's over there that can inform you and your family about anything?
I mean, he's getting a block by everything. I know that a mercy letter was submitted by senior security people, UAE officials.
Yes.
They submitted that to the leadership saying you have to release him, including the doctor who's treating him. You have to release him on medical grounds. And there was silence after it. Nothing happened. Nothing. So
absolutely incredible.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And folks, this is a situation, just to underscore what the news media, the British news media, has already talked about. When you consider the people that Aida has mentioned here in this broadcast who have attempted to intervene on her behalf to help Zach, these are some heavy duty folks, and nothing has, as of yet, has happened. Human Rights Watch is one. Detained International is another. The James W. Foley Legacy Foundation is yet another that has intervened officially on Zach Shaheen's behalf and on behalf of his family, and still we have no official word from the President of the United States and the Secretary of State of the United States and the highest authorities in the UAE, not to me, but to Aida Dagher and to her family, as to precisely what in the HELL is going on here. So again, I would really like to make sure that Ruth Bashinsky at Daily Mail gets a copy of this broadcast.
Yes.
The only other thing I can think of, other than to stay on my Russian and Iranian friends and other Middle Eastern media colleagues that happen to know my name, is to see if Robert F. Kennedy Jr. would do what I think he would do if he was made aware of the case.
Well, just now I received a message from Constance. And
yes, I just got the same message.
She's got the contacts.
Yes. Well, if Aida and I have a mutual friend, if we start going down this road, this is a whole new road. This friend whose name is Constance, says that she can get through to RFK. Junior. Constance, if you're listening to this, and obviously you're listening to this, get a hold of Kennedy now, and I'll send you all the details on this show after the fact. Constance, by the way, is someone who was in the middle of an incredible amount of international intrigue that involved the CIA, that involved some of the neocons at the Iran Policy Committee, that involved the terrorist MEKO Mujahideen-e Khalq organization that attempted to assassinate my father in Pahlavi, Iran, some 45 years ago. They didn't get him, but they assassinated other American citizens there, including Colonels Paul Schaefer the other colonel's name will come to me. Both of these American colonels were stationed at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. But at any rate, they were murdered in May of 1975. And ironically enough, after the Islamic Revolution in Iran, the MEK turned around and became very useful to the CIA and the Israeli Mossad and to the British MI6. And they're still doing the bidding of those particular intelligence services, even though they are most dreadful people. And my friend Constance is someone who was in fear of her life at the hands of these folks. So, Aida, we'll see what Constance can drum up for you and me. And in the meantime, we'll keep trying to drum up a contact with Kennedy and see if, because I think if he gets involved in this, this would be an issue tailor-made for him, not only because he's running against Biden, but I think I don't know RFK Jr., but I just have the sense if he's convinced that that one is dealing with a legitimate human rights case, he'd be convinced of this in 30 seconds or less, that he would give you the help that I can't.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Well, anything else? I don't know how much time we've got left. I'm looking at what appears to be 54 minutes and 48 seconds from my tech, which means that we've got a few minutes left. I'm sorry we weren't able to get your son on here. I understand his contact information is subsequently in my Skype inbox. I will get myself linked up to him. And one of the things I might ask you in our remaining minutes, my London version of the Dan Koff Report, which I missed this last week because I was dealing with an ill mother and mother-in-law. Nonetheless, that London broadcast may also be of interest to you and might be of help to you folks, just to extend that invitation to you and your son if you think it would
be
helpful.
My nephew, yes.
Yes.
Sure. Zach's
or your
son.
Nephew, yes. Zach's son.
Yeah, so, sure. We're ready.
Very definitely. And is there anything else that you'd like to cover here in these remaining minutes?
No, I really thank you for feeling with us, for trying to help. We need all the help, and you seem like a wonderful man. Thank you so much.
Well, that's not what my sister-in-law would say about me, but she voted for Biden, you know, and I no, actually, she's a very wonderful woman. She actually does like me, despite the fact that when it comes to my American alt-right, anti-New World Order views, we just don't discuss that. But I happen to have a good sister-in-law, at least one good one. So I said that in jest, not in seriousness.
Yes, I know.
Listen, anytime you think you can use me for something, feel free to contact me anytime. And in the meantime, I'll close out the show here, and I will be if you can send me Ruth's information at the Daily Mail, I'll contact her, and maybe between Constance and me, we can get a hold of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for you.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
God bless you and yours, Aida. I hope that that God intervenes on your behalf and on Zach's behalf, and what is an absolutely hellish situation on a humanitarian basis.
Thank you. Your prayers will help. Thank
you. Yes, and you will have them. God bless you.
Bless you too. Bye.
Bye-bye now. Well, folks, we have a little bit of time left in the Dan Koff Report here. And in this little bit of time that is left, I just wanted to emphasize that for those of you who are regular listeners to this show, as well as for the folks that have been listening to us around the world and will be listening to us archivally around the world, there may be a couple of things that will interest you in regard to all of the news items I normally post. In addition to these very fine news items that highlight this unbelievable Zach Shaheen detention case in the UAE, I will also have plenty of links up, the latest links up on the Russian-Ukrainian war, on the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. campaign. Who knows, if the Republicans stink it up too badly, I might cross over one time and vote for Kennedy in a Democratic primary, but don't hold me to that yet. I may not vote. I mean, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Also, some dreadful stuff on the latest in American culture, quote unquote, that if you're not already sickened by what has happened to our country politically, economically, and culturally, some of those news stories that we'll start adding in the next 24 hours to this show description will give you more than you will possibly want to take a look at in regard to what a serious, serious situation we are in. Well, let's keep an eye on things, especially as it relates to the Russian-Ukrainian conflict. I have not spoken of the public brouhaha between Prigozhin of the Wagner Group and the Russian defense establishment in regard to events going on in Bakhmut, and whether or not by the 10th of May, Prigozhin and his Wagner Group will get the relief that he seeks from mainline Russian army troops, or exactly what's going to happen there. That's certainly one story to keep an eye on. This whole issue of this drone attack on Vladimir Putin's residence and on the drone attack on the dome of the Kremlin that transpired here in the last 48 hours is certainly something to watch in terms of what would seem to be a dangerous escalation of this situation to give the Zyokons in the United States and to give the Zyokons in Western Europe and to give NATO the illegitimate war that they want, which is almost guaranteed to go global. So keep an eye on that story, folks. This is exactly where things are. And if you're wondering how an American government could possibly turn its back on people like Zach Shaheen and his family in the United Arab Emirates, this is the same American government that seems to want to get your kids killed in an international conflict in which we do not belong. See you next week. You have been listening to the Dan Koff Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So enjoyed talking to Aida Dagher, the sister-in-law of Zach Shaheen, illegally detained in the United Arab Emirates. Let's get on the stick this week and try to help these fine people. If you know how I can find Kennedy, let me know.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.